flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roll call has been called. Hope that you are also in class for this one. Happy Thursday to you. You are in the loop on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, the Figgy Fig, hanging out with you. You as well. Let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610. How you doing? How you making it?
Me?
No. Why would you put that on the text line?
We don't give a damn about how you,
that's
how
also
you making
point.
It.
I'm fine, thank you. How
we
about
don't
you?
Care. I do love, though, like as we've continued this running gag about why you did not make it into work on Tuesday, and it's become bigger and bigger of a story, and you're like gnawing off your arm, you know, in the truck, freezing cold.
Yeah.
And the image for me is just like a wide shot of you doing that, and then like children sledding past.
Oh, that's it.
That was jubilation and glee.
That was the funniest part of the whole thing. I'm like kind of white knuckling it going down this hill, and there's choo-choo little kids going, hey, sir. Hi, mister. And they're just
like rolled over, crashed in a ditch, you know, trying to cut himself free of the of the confines of his safety belt. And there's just children sliding by on on scraps of cardboard happily.
All right. At least I had OG sauce in the truck. So that arm tasted delicious.
We're starting in an unhinged manner on this day. But look. I think there's a level of excitement because this Rockets team is really good at basketball, as evidenced by a big-time victory on the home floor versus the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers. And, I mean, the way that this thing went down was kind of crazy because it's not like it was a fluke either. It was 109-108, but that kind of it took some doing to get there. The Rockets had a pretty strong control of this game for most of the game. And, I mean, it's worth noting that the Cavs didn't have Evan Mobley. We were talking yesterday, Fig, about how, you know, Evan Mobley has become very pivotal to what they're doing. His elevation and his growth. Obviously, he's been a great defender, but, like, finding more offense, finding a little bit of shooting, and really finding some passing has been good for him. But still, this is an incredibly good team that had only had 6 losses coming into Houston last night. And the Rockets not only, like, played with them, played really ahead of them, played in a way that was incredible up until the fourth quarter, where the fourth quarter got really dicey.
By the way, that's called a 2-1-2 zone.
Yeah.
They have never seen one before, apparently.
Yeah, so I guess let's do this before we get into, like, all the particulars of how this game unfolded. Mm-hmm. Like, how much confidence did this game give you? 713-572-4610. How excited are you for the Rockets at this moment? A 29-14 Rockets team that remains at the second number 2 in the West and really now has beaten the 2 best teams in the league, at least the 2 best records if you very want to go that way, with the Oklahoma City Thunder and now this Cavaliers team. Like, what is your elevation? Where are you at now with this?
I mean, Fred VanVleet said it right after the broadcast on court with Vanessa Richardson. We can beat anybody. We know that.
Yep.
Flat out said we can beat anybody. We know that. And you're just sitting there going, yeah, they can. What a fun night of basketball.
That's probably like the way to put it. Yeah. It was just fun to watch them hoop.
Because it wasn't like, oh my God, you said it at the start. You know, they're really good at basketball. Yes, they are. But that wasn't a really good game for them.
It
you know.
Was stressful.
For a majority of the game, the Rockets absolutely looked like the better team.
But the game itself was like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Because you
it
had,
was crashing out at the end, man. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, 19-0 run at the end. Now they
just saying that is wild because I remember seeing the graphic vividly of 14-0, and then I forgot that there's. Yeah. There's some
I know Craig Ackerman like, man, they are losing it.
Had a couple of little glitches late second. Was it late second quarter? Where the Cavs made a little bit of a run, looked to be having a little more energy, and you're like, okay, are they going to make their run here? They didn't. And then you had the bizarre nature of it all. Darius Garland.
Yeah, so let's...
That brother was 3-for-8 yeah, at the free throw line.
Let's lay this out. Darius Garland, mind you, who is a very, very good
90%. Yeah.
Thank you. You guys were also watching the broadcast. That came up quite a bit. But and this is, I guess, where you shout out and salute Toyota Center and the Houston Rockets fans, mm-hmm. which, look, you know, there's a lot that can be said or that is said to kind of deride the Houston sports fan. Mm-hmm. Man, the Houston sports fans have been showing up. Like, I know Craig Ackerman on the broadcast was talking a lot about the free throw defense, and that always sounds kind of absurd. It's like, hey, you're standing at the free throw line.
By the way, they actually do lead the league in free throw
defense. No, absolutely. No, it's and he was saying with a straight face, and he deserved to say it, and it was meant with a straight face.
I don't know if I buy it, but they do.
No, it because, like, part of, I think it's what's commonly accepted is like that environment in that arena,
yeah.
When you're playing at home in particular, mm-hmm. affects a free throw shooter.
Yeah, shout out to Clutch.
And Clutch the Bear. And I think the Rockets fans in Toyota Center who were, you know, who were very present, and I imagine it's helped that the Rockets have been this fun, definitely made an impact where late in this game, the Cavs made this game tight. In fact, they took a lead very late in this basketball game, and you come down the stretch, the Rockets have a 2-point lead on a possession that looks like it's going to be the last of the game. Darius Garland just is able to get the ball in, and actually at first there's a foul to give, and the Rockets rightfully foul mm-hmm. him upon getting the basketball in. So, you know, you have that foul to get, you line it back up. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball, and he hoists a shot. He's a good 3-point shooter, but he hoists a shot that's not going to be, it's not a well set shot. Like, the way that you want to get a shot.
Leaning off balance, a little bit.
Leaning, yeah. Those types of things. But this happens.
You saw the play already. Now match up.
Now
Garland
got the three. Oh, man, there was a foul.
Did he let kick?
They fouled him on the three. Torrey Eason and Darius Garland.
Was that a natural shooting motion?
A 90% free throw shooter.
He said that like 20 times.
That's called setting, like that's yeah. setting the moment. That is being a great play-by-play. Shout out to Craig Ackerman. And then you get Darius Garland, who, as you heard, 90% free throw shooter.
Well,
missing.
Before that, it becomes a flagrant.
Yes, because
and by the way,
that's Tari Eason.
It was three free throws and the ball.
And
correct.
The ball. Correct. And that's why I said the bizarre nature of it had me sort of like that, you know, thinking twice about this thing. And I looked at it a couple of times. They showed the replay, of course. And
no, that's textbook.
And I'm saying, yeah, letter of the law.
That's textbook.
That letter of the law. That's a flagrant. It was kind of on the softer side of the spectrum, is how I would put it.
No, that's textbook.
But I mean, he only just landed where he. I mean, he didn't give him a landing space.
And that's the whole. Point.
No, yeah. I get it. Letter, like, of the law. That's
this flagrant. Is the Zaza Pachulia rule.
Yes,
like,
yes.
And again, it's not going to look like any other flagrant. That's the thing that stinks, especially from a fan perspective. You're watching and you're like, dang it, that does not feel like it has it carries that weight. But in a league where you have so many more jump shooters and you know how much, like, landing, especially with, like, ankles and feet.
They're
like
trying
how
to protect the shooter.
You have to protect.
No. Like I said, letter of the law, it was a little bit on the lower end, but it was. It was a flagrant.
I don't even know if it was a lower end. Like, it just absolutely was. Yeah. He landed almost on Tari's calf in that way, which I guess you have to also be concerned about because of Tari and the injuries that he's had. But, no, that's absolutely a flagrant in
and
how
then
it
he goes.
Goes
to the line.
But he goes to the line and he misses the first two free throws, which, again, shout out to the Rockets fans in the building. And it added to the weird anomaly of his game individually. Darius Garland makes the third one, and then they have to try and get one more shot in as they're down one. They can't get the layup. The Rockets win. So, like, the way that the game ended was wild as well. But I think the interesting portion of this game for me is that it highlighted a trend that's been happening in January, is that, hey, man, this team was shooting the lights out from three in this game. I think they for a period of time, they were shooting above 50% from beyond the arc. I think they ultimately end this game shooting 44% from three, which is nothing to scoff at. In the month of January, coming into this game, so that's not counting this game, this Rockets team has shot 37.7% from three, if I remember correctly. That was good for eighth. And, I mean, that's not to say that, oh, now they're the best three-point shooting in the team. But it's interesting to me that they have the permutation in them where they can knock down some shots, which is nice. Like, obviously, I think some of that has come with Cam Whitmore getting some more minutes. Fred Bingo. VanVleet has been shooting a lot better. I think he's 44% from three over his last 14.
He had a tear last night.
Something like, and he was, yeah. I mean, he was incredible.
Was he 5 of 8?
You uptake, like, you go more. I think he ultimately finished 7 of 12. Yeah. I know he finished 7 of 12 from three, 26 points in this game, and you needed a lot of them. You needed those instances of this mattering a whole bunch. But this team being able to shoot the three ball, like, I love what this Rockets team has been. They have their identity. And even after the game, you had Ime Udoka talking about, hey, we still want to, like, shooting the threes in the way that we did is cool. We still want to focus on our identity. They have that identity, which is playing hard-nosed defense, playing team defense, getting rebounds, those things. And even when those things maybe have slipped a little bit, you've seen that there's a permutation of this team that can knock down shots as well. And all of that feels good because you pair that with the fact that they are winning some games against the top teams in the league. Mm-hmm. I'll have to go back and look. I think it might have been Ben DuBose who had a note about them being, if I remember correctly, maybe 9-2 against these teams in these circumstances. Like, they are playing well against the best teams in the league, and they're showing that they can do it in various ways. That all bodes well when we start talking about what the altitude or the ultimate heights that this team can reach.
Well, and you mentioned that at the start of this segment, and I'm sitting here looking at this team and I'm sort of absorbing it all after the game and thinking about it, and I actually correlated it to the Texans. Like Texans, we knew they were going to have defense. Maybe not this good, but we knew they were going to have defense. The Rockets, we knew they were going to have defense. And again, also maybe not this good, but we knew they were going to get better and have defense. They are on a faster track because they're actually doing the things on the other side and doing things in terms of individuals raising their game and improving.
Yes,
that the Texans did not. When you look at individuals on this team that you expected to improve, they are improving. Like, a lot of individuals on the Texans didn't. You know, if you look at some offensive linemen, we can go back to Kenyon Green, sure, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, some of these other, Mechie and some of these other. What the Rockets are doing is elevating their game on both sides and or elevating individual things like Şengün's defense, like hell, Jalen Green's defense. He had a great stop last night.
Yeah,
he had a great stop last night. And some
Jalen Green hater Ocho has chimed in on the text line from 713. Has Jalen Green turned back into a pumpkin yet? He's had a couple of games where he has not scored to the same degree, but this is this is what I'm talking about on a team scale. That's also happened with Jalen Green on an individual scale, finding a way to get it done. Like, that's the grit that you imagined, that you always,
that's what they're getting,
expect from an Ime Udoka coach team, right? Okay, if the defense is, or if you're not kind of hitting some of those marks, well, we'll knock down shots. And with Jalen, it's like, I think that's one of the things that Sam Amick wrote a piece about Jalen Green and the trust that he has from Ime Udoka and the development that he's having, and how that gets there, right? The idea is, can you impact the game in all facets?
And he did. Last night was a big couple of possessions.
100%. Defensively, he's been very good about, you know, being in those spaces, being able to, I saw, navigating screens pretty well and staying within plays. Like, those are things that he did. But as a team in general, you've seen all that come together. And so you see another, and just to clean this up, 9-1 at Toyota Center versus teams with top 10 records. Like, this has been a Rockets team that not only is putting up a good record, not only is playing better basketball and developing, as you mentioned, but also doing it against the best teams in the league in a way that I feel like translates. And to your point with the comparison from the Rockets to Texans, I do think that some of this, I do want to acknowledge, basketball is going to be easier in those places because an individual's growth can impact a team way more in basketball than it can in football.
My
just take the raw numbers.
You're getting that from guys. You're getting that from guys where it didn't happen elsewhere. And they all know who they are now. Like, they know how they fit in and what they do. Hell, Cam Whitmore's found money at this point.
That's one of the things.
I mean, what do you have, 20 minutes? 20 something?
21 minutes. Yeah. 16 points in those 21 minutes. And, like, it's funny because this Rockets team, they got like 3 sixth men.
Yeah.
And that's the depth that this team has. That's honestly one of the places where they've turned what should have or what could have easily been a kind of a challenge for them, where it's like, oh, man, you got too many guys. And in some ways, they have had issues with that. Cam Whitmore not really getting minutes until you've had some injuries that have, you know, shifted up the lineup.
Yeah.
But that has been a benefit for them because they have players of a certain caliber where they have depth and they can rotate through. And on any given night, various people can show up. You can have Cam Whitmore being an, a catalyst and spark plug. You can have Tari Eason being a catalyst and spark plug. Right? And then even Steven Adams gave you some good minutes, especially defensively.
He had 11 rebounds in 19 minutes.
100%. 100%.
I mean, think about it. They know who they are, and they're getting better at what they are expected to get better at.
Correct.
And that's where the promise is with this Rockets team.
And they don't have to be perfect to get through either. Like, that was another thing that was really cool. Pal Pal's mentioned something that was worth noting in this game, though. Still some room. You can still see the places of development. One of those was you saw that run, that 19-0 run happen when the Cavaliers said, oh, no, we're just going to go to a zone, and we're going to force you guys to figure out how to break this down. And it took them way too long.
I don't know if they ever did.
Yeah, that is fair. I'm not even sure if they got to that place.
That was remarkable to me. I'm like, I'm yelling at the TV.
Get to the middle of the middle of the floor.
There's three easy ways to do it, and everybody knows them. Penetrate, kick, back cut on a penetration, or swing the ball on a high screen and knock down a three. I know that. You know that.
Correct.
Everyone knows that. And I'm like, have you never seen a zone before?
And it's one thing to see it. It's one thing to be able to execute it at an NBA level. So, like, those are things that you're – because the playoffs are a great place for seeing junk zones and all those types of things when a team is in a desperation place.
Man.
I thought it was a little bit more of a 2-3, and you forced it into a 2-1-2 by bringing that center up.
Maybe.
Because Alperin was playing, and I thought that was one of the ways that they tried to attack that zone, was Alperin playing at the high post.
That was textbook 2-1-2 with the center, obviously protecting the baseline.
Yeah, I thought they wanted to go for a 2-3, and that you were trying to, you know, force them into a different place by pulling their center away from being able to, you know, protect the rim with Alperin playing high, which is one of the benefits of him. But either way,
you've seen it a million times,
right?
And you know what? They're going to see it again.
But yeah, I was like, and that's the thing, is it showed a level of success. And one of the things about the NBA, maybe not in the regular season as much, but when you get to the times where teams can do more advanced scouting, you're going to see a lot more of that. Yeah. Now, one of the things I did find interesting, though, is I thought the Rockets did a great job of not allowing the Cavaliers to get all the way to the basket. So they were forcing them to kind of put floaters up over the top. And then at a certain point, the Cavs kind of were able to get all the way to the basket. But again, a fantastic win by this Rockets team, who will see this Cavaliers team again in just, 2 days? Does it technically count as 2 days? Yeah, today's Thursday. I forgot what day it was. On Saturday evening in Cleveland at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. So we'll see exactly how the return trip looks on this, but I'm still something to hang your hat on. A lot of credit there. I didn't mention Dylan Brooks having a little bit of a rough game offensively as well, but I think that's, again, points to one of the things about the Rockets. One of the big takeaways that I've loved about the Rockets in this is that even if somebody is having not a great stretch of it, somebody else is picking them up. And that's been the beauty of this 29-14 Houston Rockets team. An incredible win against a top team in the league. And I didn't even get to some of the interesting notes, some of the interesting stats that came out of this game. I'll circle back around to that when we get into what's popping. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, just getting going on a Thursday. And coming up next. Yeah, man. Somehow the NFL managed to make fining Joe Mixon for something he didn't say even worse. We'll tell you how. Next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adetula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, happy Thursday to you. You're in the loop with John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. We are hanging out with you. We were just talking about the Rockets' big win last night, 109-108 over the team with the best record in the NBA that now have 7 losses. Hold that, Cleveland. You might have 8 come Saturday if you're not careful.
Oh, man.
Watch yourself. You better watch yourself. I do appreciate you guys getting involved with the program. 713-572-4610, where somebody was like, one thing I also liked about the game, or just in general about these Rockets, is that when somebody starts cooking on the other side, Ime's just like, hey, I'm in. Go shut that down.
Yeah.
Go stop that. Cut that out. Stop that right now. It's just like, hey, man, put that
right
dude on ice.
I got the right tool for that.
That's exactly right. It's like, oh, okay, you think you bad, huh? I'm in.
Let me go in the toolbox real quick.
Oh, man.
And fix
Get
this.
Get out here. Go change that right quick.
Yeah.
And then I did appreciate this text that came in, and I understand I teased the Joe Mixon, and we'll get to the Joe Mixon, why the NFL is wilding once again. But they were saying that, you know, because we were talking about the way that that game ended, which was wild. Tari Eason with a flagrant foul on a three-point shot that gave Darius Garland, I don't know why I called him Darius, Darius Garland, 3 free throw shots and the Cleveland Cavaliers possession of the ball on a last-second heave attempt, kind of. And so Darius Garland misses a couple of free throws that ultimately, 2 of the 5 that he missed in that game as a 90% free throw shooter. And then that ultimately allows the Rockets to finish it out with a good defensive possession and win the game. But somebody was like, yeah, this is why I've been out on basketball. It feels like the refs affect things too much. And my thought was, isn't that kind of modern sports right now? Like, we're all super, super hyper-focused on officiating. I think some of this is like the advent of, you know, Ultra HD and then so much review on television. I feel like we might have more review than ever. We see all these different angles. And so we are, you know, just uncommonly trained on, oh, man, that's wrong. Whereas I think in the past we might have just been like going with what ultimately we could
just play
see.
Ball
just yeah man this is what we have.
Well,
does that feel fair, or am I trying too hard to make an excuse?
No, I think the answer is it's always been blame the refs. I mean, you can go back to the 90s. You say I love basketball in the 90s, yeah, but you still hated the refs. I mean, there were always bad calls and weird calls and people able to, you know, clamoring for replay and all that. It's always been there. Like, we won't talk about it here. There's something else to get to here. But
well, I think there's a tie in here.
But yes.
I got the segue going.
He's working.
The segue king.
I can smell
I wouldn't call myself the king, but I do try. I do a little something. You know what I'm saying? You see me.
You the segue king at this station.
I can smell the wood burning. But last thought on this. There is clearly something that people are not appreciating and watching the NBA for. I don't think it's the referees. I don't think it's because of officiating. There's other things.
No, that's fair.
Yeah,
I do feel like it get a little irritating with a replay for every single thing. It's just like, man, come on. It was clearly off of this person.
Yeah, we really do have to find a good balance in sports when it comes to replay because, I mean, that's what we're talking about in the NFL, right? You talked about this with the divisional game. Is some of the people in an attempt to try and fix what we saw in that divisional round game were just, I mean, you had at the very least a couple of plays that were fairly egregious in that moment. People are like, well, make that reviewable and review that. And I'm like, guys,
man,
do we know what we're asking for in this moment? Because we've been down this path and we're actively going down this path and we don't like it.
And even the coach's challenge last night, you see Kenny, he was just like, hey, let me just do it just because I can't take him home with me. It's like, dog, that was a foul, man. Yeah.
And here comes, you know, 2, 3, 5 minutes of a delay in action.
Yeah.
Amen was asking for one in the third quarter, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you fouled him.
I do love that. I do love that about the NBA situation.
They get their finger going.
Everybody does a little twirl. Like, hey, review that. I'm like
brother, you fouled him, man.
And then Ime looks to the 2 dudes or 3 dudes on the bench, and they're like, no. Don't do it.
Like, I mean, I understand. I feel like this has just become the natural reaction to, I want to make it clear that, nah, man, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. So it's like, review that. It's like, all right,
It'd be one guy on the court doing this. It's like, bro, come on, man.
Yeah, but, man.
Ball up top.
So, yeah, you had those instances. In fact, let's actually get some audio because I mentioned the Patrick Mahomes situation. And Patrick Mahomes went on Carrington Harrison's show, The Drive, up there in Kansas City, and was actually talking about the calls that happened in that Kansas City Chiefs divisional game. And I imagine that you're not going to appreciate his perspective on it.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of learned that no matter what happens during the game, that something's going to come out or about if you win and you continue to win. So I don't really pay attention to it. I mean, obviously, I've been on both sides of it as far as how I felt the calls were made. But at the end of the day, man, those guys are doing their best to make the best calls and keep it to where the players are making the plays in the game, and that's what decides the outcome. And obviously, there was a call here or there that people didn't agree with.
Was there?
At the same time, there was a lot of other plays that really decided the outcome of that football game.
That's the stuff that made me hate him,
man.
It's
so bad.
That's the stuff that made me hate him. You know, I'm just trying to play the game, and you know what you're doing. Yeah. We see you.
They're doing the best they can. We were just talking about it at
dinner. I'm just trying to play on the football field, and I'm just trying to win the game. And shut up.
You know, I had dinner with those guys last night, and we were talking about this. The officials, they're doing the best they can.
I do love that. Like, and I don't. Did we get that other part where he was talking about the fact that, like, the one that I think that they, that they got right is, I was on the sideline, and he was like, I think they got it right, and I recognized it in the moment, and they ultimately get things right. And I was like, oh, word.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Patrick Mahomes talking about these officials. But I mean, the NFL has the official level problem, and then this came to a head with the ways that the Texans have talked about this. Mm-hmm. And Joe Mixon yesterday during the show, we see Joe Mixon just start tweeting, being mad at the NFL. And I was like, yo, what is this about? And ultimately, we found out that Joe Mixon had been fined the maximum amount that was finable in this instance, $25,000 for some dissent for complaining about the referees. And the odd thing about that was we had found out that this was on like a fan blogging site of SI on SI.com, which is a weird thing that we can delve into at another time because that's a whole different can of worms. Mm-hmm. But what had happened was the thing that was quoted in the letter that was sent to Joe Mixon. Now, I believe that was reported by DJ Bienemy.
Yes.
Mike Florio has said different, but I'm going to go with the local guy and DJ. But DJ Bienemy has said that in that letter that was sent to Joe Mixon was quoted as a quote of, and actually I need to circle this.
I got it
up.
Right here.
Okay, you have it?
Yeah.
What was previously attributed to Joe Mixon?
Why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs? These officials are trash and biased.
So that was attributed to Joe Mixon in the letter that came with his $25,000 fine. We found out yesterday that actually that was TJ Houshmandzadeh, former wide receiver
in
the NFL.
Playing, man. He's just sitting there.
Nah, he's just watching it like us, seeing what we all seeing, commenting on it. And that ended up in an SI piece or an on SI piece. That then, I guess, in somehow reading improperly, the NFL attributed to Joe Mixon and fined him $25,000. Yesterday, we found out also that they amended the letter or what have you, or the reasoning, but they basically were like, nah, you're still getting fined $25,000. This is what Joe Mixon had actually said after the game, and it's just, it feels like it's nasty work.
Everybody know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands, but I mean, the whole world see, man, like, what it is, bro, but it is what it is. You know,
stop with that.
Like I said,
it is what it is.
Down, so you can't never leave it into the ref's hands, man, and things like that, but it's all good, though.
All right, so they fined him. They said, okay, forget that other one.
That was $25,000.
Yeah, we're going to fine you for this.
And, of course, like, we all live on planet Earth. We have brains. He was criticizing the refs. However, like,
everybody says that.
That's what I'm saying.
Everyone. You want to find everyone in the league for saying you can't leave it in the ref's hands?
I do wonder. Yeah. We don't even have to go as far as
everyone. I mean,
that's kind
of true, though. You shouldn't leave it in the ref's hands.
And that's why everybody says it. This is ridiculous. Like, this is beyond ridiculous. That's not even a strong enough word. Like, how many times have you heard a player, a coach, a general manager, anyone in the NFL, anyone in any sport say, you know what? You can't leave it in the ref's hands.
Well,
you're getting fined $25,000 for that?
I feel like, see, now that's the part where I don't think the part that they're getting fined is that you can't leave it in the ref's hands. It's probably the part where he says everybody know how it is playing up here, right?
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know, but like I feel like
that's tricky right there.
Right,
there's
exactly.
Nothing wrong with that either.
That is not explicit enough that I feel like you hit get him on the 25. And then also, you had other Texans players and coaches that said things that honestly probably went further. Hello, Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah.
And at least to our knowledge at this point. So like this feels real nasty, and I feel like this goes further to corrode the trust in the NFL. I feel like in America in general, this is a larger observation.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are like, we are getting to a place where we have a severe lack of trust in institutions.
Yeah.
And so like the places where you do have some level of trust in institutions are super necessary. And I feel like that's trying to maintain that trust is important. The NFL feels like they are flouting that. They're like, man, bleep it. We run this. What you gonna do about it? And I don't think that they're entirely wrong, because the NFL is the only thing that's only sport that has seemed to like not waver in any of these places. Mm-hmm. But it feels like they're playing a dangerous game here, because if people are not willing to trust like the administration of the game, how long before people are just like, I mean, we've already got the, you know, shout out to Aaron Foster, we've already got the feeling of, oh, the NFL is scripted. And I know a lot of people do that tongue in cheek, but that's not everybody. Like, at what point do you get to a place where you are hurting your game, and maybe you get to a place where people stop riding with it?
This is... You talk about, and I hate this term, but sometimes it's appropriate. This is a very slippery slope. This is a very slippery slope, because all of a sudden, you know, people are going to be fined for things like that, and not fined saying, yeah, the refs jobbed us. You know, it's like it's arbitrary. And I think there's a bigger point here. I really do. I'm not trying to be dramatic. What is it about the Texans that the NFL all of a sudden has turned? Like, you want to put it in very blunt, you know, rudimentary terms. Why does the NFL all of a sudden hate the Texans?
See, I mentioned this yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure if it started with Nick Caserio just kind of calling out the league on the suspension for Aziz, mm-hmm. and just everybody kind of being outspoken or this organization being outspoken about
D'Amico
it.
D'Amico was pretty outspoken about that part.
Yeah. Man. So I'm wondering if stuff like that make you look at a team a certain way, because I know referees look at certain teams and be like, man, they always complaining, and you know, I'm not about to give them the benefit of the doubt.
The Texans have been the most milquetoast, non-controversial, stay in your lane organization in the NFL for more than two decades. Now you got this stuff happening like over and over again. What is it?
Yeah, I don't know that we have a great, and I mean, like, I know that there was a particular time, I mean, the Aziz hit, and you end up with that whole conversation, and that conversation lasts for over a week, right? Like, probably a week and a half. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't feel like that would be enough. And I understand, like, here, the Texans happen to be the ones across from what has become a developing kind of feeling, mm-hmm. around NFL circles of them Chiefs, right? And again, I guess coming back to the idea of, like, being, you know, having trust in the institution, when people start questioning like your officials and how they do it, I understand that you have to try and like quell dissent, but I feel like doing that with like, hey, here's the $25,000 fine, I don't know if that's going to go as well as you think it is, because I feel like we're already seeing this, it only serves to further strengthen like the questions that people have about the institution.
I think a part of it is the NFL is part embarrassed and part bitter, because you know they got called out on the Aziz Alshire thing, and they probably know they did screw that up by sort of opinion, you know, forcing opinion into their fine on Alshire, you know, and they're like, yeah, well, that's a bad look, and now they're just being defensive.
Yeah, and even if you can like try and work your way around to not being like defensive, they are just operating by the book. It looks defensive, and in this sense, it's like the perception matters here. It's getting real nasty, and I'm interested to see how this continues. Like, it will also be interesting to see, because like you'll really get a decent idea of if this feels like favoritism or whatever, for lack of a better term, that's probably not the right word. Mm-hmm. Or if this is like some level of honing in on one particular place. If all of the Texans end up with fines, like, I don't know. I feel like that would at least feel like they're playing on the level field on the criticism, mm-hmm. but also still, I don't think that helps.
I kind of want to see what they do with D'Amico if they just let him, because he didn't say like the referee.
He was real gangster with his.
He said, yeah.
He was real gangster
because
with his.
If they say something about that, man, that's ridiculous, mm-hmm. man.
We'll see. I know Seth made a great point that typically those are announced like on a Saturday. So yeah, mm-hmm. come next week. I think we'll have an idea what's happening, at least in regards to this particular level. But this might just be something that the Texans might be the new bad boys of the NFL, at least with the NFL league office. And yeah. We'll see how that ultimately plays out. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thursday. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. Inspired by Joe Mixon, what's something that you've been accused of that you just didn't do? Go ahead and cue up the Shaggy for me, Figgy. We'll do that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, question of the day. In honor of Joe Mixon somehow being blamed for TJ Houshmandzadeh's words and still getting fined the same amount by the NFL, what have you been accused of that you just didn't do, right? What have you been accused of that sent you into some righteous indignation, like my man Joe Mixon, who got on Twitter, and I mean, still an incredible tweet, I think. And I read verbatim, quote, I'm getting fined by the NFL for what someone else said. What's next? I get fined by them for Connor McDavid cross-checking an opponent on an NHL game. And then he has a.
By the way, shout out to him for being right on top of the NHL news. That's big news in the NHL right now.
Is that really?
Oh yeah, Connor McDavid. Okay. They're arguing about it everywhere. Nobody wants to hear about the NHL, but yeah, that is
wow.
That is very topical.
Hey man, yeah, I'm switching the music
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
NHL.
Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon's on top of the NHL news.
Yeah, shout out to Joe Mixon. Let me find out that Joe Mixon's a big NHL fan. It'd be weird though if he's a big fan of Connor McDavid. Well, I guess Connor McDavid is the dude in that league.
Right, I was like, damn, an NHL reference.
Shout out.
And on point.
Do you think he had to open up one of them sports like sports sites?
There's got to be something.
He's like,
there's got to be something.
are any of you the person who like, hey, man, I got a joke, but let me make sure it's accurate or let me make sure it actually lands. You do a quick Google real
let
quick.
Me Google real
let
quick.
Me Google this real quick. Make sure that this lands perfect. You're not going to have me out here looking stupid.
I do it before I debate something online where somebody tried to say, oh, you wrong with it.
Good.
I'll be like, let me double check. Let me see. No, he scored this many points in this game. I know what I'm talking about.
McKinney scored 35 in that game. I'm glad because not enough people do that. But yeah, what somebody said, don't be an NHL hater, John. That's right.
No, I'm not a hater.
We're trying to bring a team. Here, man. What you doing, man?
I'm not a hater.
We're going to be talking about it when the team comes to Houston.
He's on point, are we? But he's on point is what I'm saying.
Wow. All right, so back to the question today. What have you been accused of that you just didn't do? Lopez, I know that you don't have a lot of these because when you get accused of things, you absolutely did them. No, I'm just kidding. What do you have?
I want to go back to college.
Mm-hmm.
The most egregious one is I drove, you know, me and fishing. So I didn't have classes on Friday. I drove me and a couple of buddies from College Station all the way to Padre Island. Long drive, overnight, listening to music, drinking the whole time, et cetera, while we're driving. But I wasn't drinking. Even back then when, I just like, it's an overnight drive. We got to the beach at 3 a.m. and slept for about an hour and a half and decided to go fishing at daybreak. Whoop, whoop. You know, they show up, opens my car. It was my car.
Correct.
Opens my car and beer cans just falling out. Like,
you got open containers,
You know this was back in the day.
Open containers.
You go to jail immediately. Oh, 100%.
Straight to jail. Straight to jail.
Back in the day.
Do not collect $200.
That's right.
To jail.
That's right.
And my buddies were hung over. And I was like, it was a man and a woman. I didn't have a drop. And they're like, yeah. And all this other stuff. You know, no real. The only test you had back then was the old breathalyzer.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I actually, were those all that accurate? Like, I actually don't know.
I
can't remember if that was.
Yeah. I said, I'll be happy to do anything you want. I'll walk the line. I'll do the breathalyzer.
You was doing
whatever
a lot
you want.
There, brother.
I did not drink. At all. I did not drink the whole time.
He's still stuck
in it. I did not have sexual relations with
that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
And so I did the breathalyzer 0.0, you know, and so they really didn't have anything on me. And those guys were, I told them I was driving. So they called my mom and dad and said, hey, did you know your son is
out here drinking? We're like, we're going to tattle on you at least. We can't take you down to the precinct, but we're going to tattle on you.
This is the Corpus Christi Police Department.
Oh, like, man.
Damn.
And
did your mom say, put him on the phone?
Yep.
Until the day they
Juan
died.
Juan Felipe.
Until the day they died, they thought I just put one over on everybody. They thought I was drinking the whole time, too.
And John Philip Lopez.
Now, look, I'm not going to say I was an angel, but that day... I did not have a drop to drink, and my mom and dad were like, sure.
Are you still mad about it?
Yes.
Okay, because I remembered one in the break that legitimately got my blood boiling. I'm mad again. Mm-hmm. This happened out in Sugarland in my neighborhood when I was in elementary school. So, I walked to elementary school, walked back home, and obviously in doing that, after work, mom's not home, walking home. Yeah, take my time, go the leisurely route, and, walk with friends, have some fun in that time period. And so this particular day, I was walking home with a friend, and he was walking his little sister. Just generally the things that people do. And, we're walking, and his little sister, I guess she was feeling good, playing around, and she hit me. And I'm just like, what the bleep, man? Like, what happened? And as that happens, a car pulls up next to us, stops, and this woman rolls down her window and says, you stop hitting on that little girl. And I'm like, what? Are you I'm just walking. We having a good time, just being kids, talking or whatever. And then I get hit. Not only do I get hit, But as a young male accused of getting hit of a littler girl,
yeah.
I was like, oh no, it can't be that. No, you cannot impugn my character in such a, like, I'm still mad about that. Because first of all, she could have kept driving. She could have kept. She wanted to stop.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And a, like, and
she saw something that wasn't there.
She didn't do nothing either. Yeah. It's not like she got out and whooped me, or she. I didn't know who she was. She couldn't call my mom or nothing. Like, she just wanted to make sure that she yelled at this little boy in her mind for hitting a little girl, which I understand why.
Yeah.
But that was absolutely not what happened. And I don't know how she saw it that way, because I didn't raise my hand not once. I am still upset about this. I don't know if you could tell, but I am.
Yeah. So my story is kind of similar to John, but it was no beer cans or drinking or nothing like that. Me and my homeboy, Kurt, we was out in Kent. We was in Kent looking for some girls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, of course.
Yeah, so we was on the college campus. We was trying to meet up with some girls there. And all of a sudden, I was kind of lost because I was trying to find them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, whoop, whoop. I'm like, oh, man. So got pulled over. They checked my ID. They checked his ID. And then all of a sudden, can you step outside of the car?
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Oh, man. So they start patting us down like, you don't have any bazookas or anything.
Bazookas?
Yeah, I never heard that term. Yeah. Or heard a cop say that. I've been pulled over many times and never heard that term. And so he grabbed my coat pocket and my phone charger was in there. He grabbed it like, what's this? I'm like, it's a phone charger, please. And my homeboy had a black brush in his pocket.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, what's this? He was like, it's a brush. So we sitting on the hood of the car.
Oh, my God.
It felt like an hour, man. It was cold outside. We were just sitting there. And the girls we was meeting was way over there. So they looking at us getting pretty much about to get arrested. And all of a sudden, another car rolled by with a guy in the back. And the guy was like, no, that's not them.
God bless.
Oh, they were looking for.
So apparently somebody got robbed.
Yeah,
you were about to be hemmed up.
They had the same color car I had.
Oh, oh man!
Wow.
That's, so if the fit guy the description,
if the guy would have said, "Nah, that's them," we would have went to jail.
Yeah,
fit the description stories, man. That's tough. Man, I got one of those too, but I don't want to bring that.
We
out
We rolled
right
home quiet as hell.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Miles after that one,
about 2 miles under the speed limit, I'm sure.
Man,
on the text line, somebody said, and this one's tough. Cheating. Got accused of cheating continuously when all they were guilty of was having late days of work. Oh, that's tough. You just out there bringing home the bacon.
That guy's just working.
Just yeah, man. Got work to do. And I appreciate this one. Made me laugh out loud when I read it. Accused of farting in public when it was 100% their 12-month-old daughter having grown man farts, because you can't blame the baby. You just can't. Right? Nobody's. Oh, sure. Although, like, hey, man, those babies do be having, like, real smelly stuff happening, man. Mm-hmm. Like, especially once, I guess, against, around once they start getting, like solids.
Because,
like, you know,
yeah,
like, milk is not going to do quite that. But when they start getting solids, their systems be doing the craziest stuff.
Rank.
Yeah.
It gets rank. How does that smell come out of that little thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, you all cute and everything. How are you making that?
Yeah.
On the YouTube, they said when they were little, their sister and them were playing outside with their neighbor's chicken coop. When they got done, went inside. Moments later, the neighbors came knocking and said that they broke the chicken coop and let them out. Y'all might have done that accidentally. they got whooped, though.
Or they just wanted a free chicken coop.
Mm. Oh, you think that they were scheming? Yeah, they were like, hey, we saw them playing with it.
And we need
There's
a new
plausible,
one.
Yeah. Plausible deniability. We can make their parents pay for it.
Yes, exactly.
That's real nasty.
It was one time. It was way back in the day before I got with my wife. But I got accused of cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part is it was somebody I'd never messed around with. But at the time, I was like messing around with other people.
Oh,
but
no.
She pointed at somebody else. I'm like, no, I did not.
So you got to get with her. She was right on the accusation.
Yeah.
Just not
wrong,
in the right.
Just the wrong girl.
Wrong lane.
Just the wrong girl.
I am technically innocent.
Like, I never messed with that girl right
on
there.
On my mother.
On my dead granny.
That girl in particular. I never messed with her. Her. And right there.
I'm like, woo, she got the wrong girl.
Otherwise, you were sunk. From the 281, they said they saw, this might be Figgy texting, and saw a dog walking down the road in the rain. They picked him up. Had him 3 days until they saw a post about a missing dog. So they called the owner, and the owner accused them of stealing the dog and brought the police when they came to pick him up.
I bet you that happens a lot.
That is tough.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Like, how did I get
in
this?
I'm trying to be good here.
For being a good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Keep letting us know about your Joe Mixon situations where you definitely didn't do what you were accused of.
Yeah.
On the text line, 713-572-4610. I'll try and make sure to circle back around to them. But coming up next, let's go around the NFL, where the NFL honors and the finalists have been announced for big time awards, plus another Pro Bowler for the Texans. I'll tell you who it is next.
How about that?